Grace and mercy be yours from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Happy Pentecost. Today marks the 50th day since we celebrated Christ's resurrection on Easter Sunday. So today marks the end of the Easter season and the beginning of what is known as the time of the church, when we turn from Jesus' life and ministry to contemplate how that ministry continues to be carried on by the church today, both as we look at the disciples after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, as well as the church today as we follow in the footsteps of those great pioneers of the faith. Today, as we begin our contemplation of the church's ministry, we need to start at the beginning by looking at who is to carry on God's work in this world. Our Old Testament reading actually gives us a pretty good idea of whose responsibility this mission is. So we look at the Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 11. This is taking place while the people of Israel are in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt, while they are still on their way to the Holy Land. And here Moses is, the leader of this people, getting rather beaten down and dejected and exhausted because he is only one man caring for all of these people. How on earth is he supposed to manage this? At the beginning of Numbers, Israel had over 600,000 soldiers, that's men who are age 20 and older, who could be called up to serve in the military. And that doesn't even count the number of Levites in that age range, probably tens of thousands at least. And in addition, all of these men have families and they have children, plus there are the elderly who are too old for military service, those who are not quite 20 years old and old yet. And so we're probably looking at somewhere in the range of 2 million or more people, all of whom have problems that Moses has to fix. And so, because Moses, as the divinely appointed leader of the Exodus, must judge all the conflicts for these millions of people. Moses is the one that they are looking to for guidance. After all, he is the one that God speaks to directly. And so just judging between people is taking up all of Moses' time, all of Moses' energy. What on earth is he to do? Well, back in Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law Jethro was visiting and saw how much time Moses was spending in this. And so he suggested that Moses establish something of a court system. And so Moses appointed judges as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. So these lower judges would judge the people in terms of the little matters, and then they would bring the big things to Moses. But unfortunately, at this point in Numbers, it appears that this system is not enough. Moses is getting beaten down by the people's constant complaints and demands, and so Moses needs help. Well, up to this point, Moses actually has been the only one in the Exodus, in this group, on whom the God's Spirit rested. And so this is why the people were always needing to turn to him, is because he is the one who received the Holy Spirit, and so he is the one who has God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding to lead the people. So whenever God didn't do what the people wanted him to do, they turned to Moses. So Moses needs help here, and the Lord provides the support that Moses needs. So he has Moses gather the 70 elders of the people and at the tent of meeting, and he takes the Spirit that is on Moses and gives that also to these 70 elders. And so the Holy Spirit now has been expanded to 70 elders in addition to Moses, who can ease the burden on Moses by helping him to judge and lead the people. This manifested itself when the elders began to prophesy by speaking God's word. And that it was so shocking when the elders begin to prophesy and when Eldad and Medad, who are in the camp, begin to testify, would suggest that there is a little more involved here than simply speaking. They may have raved the way that Saul did when he was among the prophets in 1 Samuel 10 and then 1 Samuel 19, but they may have spoken and interpreted in tongues. We're not entirely sure what exactly it means for them to be prophesying here, but the elders are displaying that God's power rests on them. And we actually see the same thing in our reading from Acts when God sends the Holy Spirit to rest on the apostles and the early believers, about 120 or so in number. All of these speak in tongues and proclaim God's word to the people who are gathered in Jerusalem for the festival, each in their own languages. So in both of these cases, God's Spirit rested on his people, and they confirmed that the Spirit was upon them with a sign, whether it be prophesying or whether it be speaking in tongues. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to be prophesying or speaking in tongues for God's Spirit to rest upon you. God's Spirit rests upon you because God gives it to you. And so you may be tempted to look at these stories and think that's all well and good for them, but this kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. And yet, when we look closer, we see that it does. Look at what happened when the Spirit was poured out on the elders of Israel. Eldad and Medad, two of them, were not at the tent, and yet the Spirit was still given to them. And so the Spirit isn't bound by place. When the word spread to the rest of the group standing outside the tent of meeting, Joshua asked Moses if he should go out and stop them to prevent them from prophesying out among the people. And yet Moses' response is no. In fact, his response is very telling. He says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord's Spirit was on them. To be a prophet doesn't mean that you are telling what's going to happen in the future. Being a prophet actually simply means that the Spirit of God has been given to you. This means that when you speak on God's behalf, what God wants you to say. This is what set all of the Old Testament prophets apart, is that God's Spirit prompted them with the words to speak. Sometimes it was foretelling events many years in the future. Sometimes it was simply looking at the locust infestation and saying, "This is God's judgment." Sometimes it was telling the people what God wanted them to hear. Sometimes it was receiving God's message and writing it down for the future. But what set the Old Testament prophets apart was that the Spirit gave them the words to speak and write. And this is also what set all of the New Testament prophets apart, is that God's Spirit also prompted them with the words to speak. And you know what? It's not just them. This is also what sets all the people of the church apart, is that God's Spirit is given to all the people of the church and prompts them with the words to speak. All of God's people are prophets too. This is what Jesus foretold in John chapter 7 when he said that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. What sets the church apart is that they have received the Holy Spirit, who gives them the words that they speak. At the Pentecost, the Spirit was given to all God's people, not just to the apostles, but to all of those who were believers at the time, received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, and then all those who were baptized and believed received the Holy Spirit after the Pentecost. It also happened a couple of other times in the book of Acts that the Spirit descended on people and they confirmed that by speaking in tongues. It happens to the Samaritans when the apostles Peter and John visited the community that Philip the deacon had formed there. It happened to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius when Peter was preaching to them. And this also happens to you. You also have received the Holy Spirit of God. Not dramatically like the elders of Moses' time and the disciples at the day of Pentecost, but in baptism. You receive the Holy Spirit. In Titus chapter 3, Paul writes, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Spirit is poured out on us in baptism and prompts us with the words that we speak. And this is what Jesus said would happen in John chapter 14. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so it is the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in you through baptism, who gives you words to speak on God's behalf. You know, oftentimes we talk about the office of pastor as being the successor of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. And that is a true statement. Like these two offices, the pastoral office is also about speaking God's word on God's behalf to God's people. When the pastor is speaking in accord with God's revealed word in Scripture, you can be sure that it is trustworthy and true, given to you from God to build you up. Nowhere is this more true than in the words of absolution when the pastor says, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. However, the pastor is not the only one in the church who speaks God's word. You also, baptized believers that you are, may speak on God's behalf to people who need to hear God's message. Now, this is not a call to just say whatever you want and say it's from God. That's not what he intends, and that's not what he blesses. Rather, this is a call to know and to understand God's word so that we know that what we are speaking is in accord with what God has said and what God desires. God uses you in his mission. That is what Pentecost is about, is that God uses all people in his mission. He lets his words come out of your mouth to build up his people and share his good news with people who are in need of that message. Praise God that he makes us all prophets, that we may proclaim his grace and forgiveness to people in desperate need of that message. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.